Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Our listener lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some difficult personal issue, let us hear from you. The lines are open, so call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, and welcome. We are so glad you are with us today. Richard Pfeiffer is in studio with me, and Richard, we have a great program today.
Yes.
We're going to look at three topics. One question that somebody has asked, what do I do when I sin? I think that's something that we're all worried about. We're wondering about what do we do when we sin? How do we approach God? How do we deal with this particular issue? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about tithing. We have a question on tithing. Are we supposed to tithe? Are we supposed to give 10%? Is this an obligation that God has placed on every single believer? And then the third question we're going to address or topic is sanctification. Now, all of these tie into our major topic for the month,
yes.
And that's the knowledge of God. What do you know about God? And it's your knowledge of God when you see him through the lens of grace that will give you his perspective on all of these subjects.
Yes.
But if you're choosing to look at God through the lens of law, through the lens of human effort, through the lens of your own understanding, you're going to see these in a completely different way. So all of these come back to what is your understanding of God? What do you know about God? What is his character? Have you learned that he is love, that he is forgiving, that he is merciful, and all of those things? If you don't know that about God, then your answers to these things are going to be incredibly legalistic.
Yeah.
So these are important topics, and we're glad you're here to tune into this conversation that we're going to have on each of these. And Richard, let's just dive right in and go to this question that came to us overnight from Eric, who lives in Modesto, California.
Yeah, hi, guys. This is Eric in here in Modesto, California. I love you guys' show. Just got a quick question. I know that our sins are completely forgiven, so we no longer have to ask God to forgive us for something that's already been forgiven. However, my question is that when I do sin, obviously I'm going to sin as a believer, sometimes unintentionally, would it be okay to say I'm sorry to God? Not necessarily ask him to forgive me, but like I'm sorry, God, I did this. I don't want to obviously do this again. Kind of like I would if I sinned against my wife, I would say I was sorry. Anyways, that's my question. Hope to listen to you guys tomorrow answer that question. Thank you.
Richard, that's a great question. And
yeah.
Like I said, at the top of the hour, I think this is a question that we all ask at some
mm-hmm.
point or another. How do we approach God after we've sinned? And it does tie back to our understanding of who God is, what his true character is all about. So I've actually reversed this question. You know, we always wonder about our responsibility, but let's ask it this way. What does God do when we sin? How does he react? How does he respond to that? What does he want us to know at that particular point in time? And I think when we understand that, then the follow-up question, what do I do when I sin, can be answered rather easily. So what would God do, or what does God do when we sin?
Well,
does he berate us? Does he judge us?
Does
he
walks out and slams the door. Yeah.
Does he turn his back on us? Does he
no.
do all of those things that we think that he does?
Eric was exactly right. We've been forgiven.
Yes.
Okay. Think about what that means. This is part of knowing the Father, knowing God. What did God do to forgive sin? He made this huge initiative on our behalf by sending Jesus here and dying for sin once and for all. And as soon as he was raised from the dead, victory over sin and death, then this forgiveness was absolutely guaranteed. So I never have to ask for forgiveness. And what I tend to think in my own life, when I start saying, I'm sorry, Lord, it's because even though I know I'm forgiven, I think he's going to react badly to something I've done. Richard, we've talked about this before. You know,
yes.
And he doesn't do that. He comes to me and says, yeah, I know you sinned. remember, I have forgiven you. Let's talk. So then, rather than saying I'm sorry, I can actually, in humility, confess. I mean, he already knows I did. I'm the one that needs to admit that I did something wrong. But I'm never asking for forgiveness. I'm never saying I'm sorry in a way that will ameliorate bad feelings on the part of God. He had the key answer there. Well, if I've sinned against my wife, I go and say I'm sorry. I ask her forgiveness. Well, that's absolutely true.
Yes.
Most sin is against some other person. There's where the hard part is. I don't want to say I'm sorry to them. I want to say, sorry, God, and ignore them. But the Spirit is going to lead me to confess to that person and say, I'm sorry I did this. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be a little thing or a big thing, however it works out.
Right.
And you just respond by the grace that God has initiated to you through the faith, because you believe that he's never going to leave you or forsake you. That's knowing God.
That's
if
right.
If you know God, you know he's not leaving. He's going to walk with you, and he's not going to send you someplace to confess. He's going to walk with you to confess, because he never leaves you. And so that takes so much pressure off of the I don't know if God's going to like me anymore variety, but it raises the pressure on our interpersonal relationships, because God considers those to be vital. And there's no guarantee that the person you sinned against is going to forgive you.
Right.
But that's okay.
That's exactly right. So as far as how you relate to God, I think let's realize that we are in a position of reacting to what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So by his Spirit, he's going to once again confirm in our hearts and minds that sin has already been dealt
yeah.
with once and for all by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you have already received forgiveness of sins. You received that when you believed the good news. As Peter said to the Gentiles in Cornelius's household, anyone who believes in Jesus and receives forgiveness of sins. Paul said it in Ephesians 1. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Again in Colossians, he made us alive together with Christ. He forgave all of our sins. We see it in 1 John 2:12. I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of God's name. So God, through his Spirit, is going to bring these truths to
yes.
mind to confirm to you that sin has already been dealt with by the blood of Jesus, that you have been justified. And in that justification, you know that your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that God is always going to be with you. He's not going to turn his back on you. So now you're free to actually talk about what you did
mm-hmm.
and see what the solution is. Like
yes.
I said, your
it's a
sin,
constructive conversation.
That's right. Your sin is against somebody. And I think when we start resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, allowing the grace of God to teach us, we begin to see that our sin, these choices that we make, have consequences in the lives of other people. Now, before, when we were just looking at sin through the lens of the law, hey, I violated the law, now I need to be punished, we miss the consequences, what that action brought about in the life of another individual. We forget about the harm and the hurt and the pain that we may have caused in somebody else's life. But when we allow the grace of God to start to teach us, we begin to rest in the fact that our relationship with God is wonderful, not because of the things we do or don't do, but because of the work of Christ.
Yeah, who he
and
is.
His promises, God's promises to us, again, his character.
Yeah.
This is about knowing God. And then we begin to see, oh, no, what I did brought harm to my wife. And that's where you want to go back. The Spirit of God just moves you to go back and say, man, I know I hurt you. I know I did something. And boy, that breaks my heart that I caused pain in your life. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when real reconciliation can occur. That's when real relationship building can take place. And you can come out of that stronger together than before it happened.
Yes.
So this is how God deals with it. So a part of this talking with God is admitting the truth. That's what confession is all about. It is confessing what you've done. It's confessing that Christ has taken care of it, and then allowing God's Spirit to move you to deal with the person that you hurt or cause pain.
You'll find out how your thinking of sin has changed the next time someone harms you. Whether or not they come to you and confess it and ask you to, you know, let's repair this relationship, the Spirit's going to work with you on that. And are you willing to let that go?
Yes.
And if you are, and the person comes to you, you can experience yourself the repair of a relationship you may not have known was even damaged, but sin always damages things. And so look at it from both sides. Not when I do something wrong, I mean, I'm focusing on me, but what if somebody does something wrong to me? Am I going to let them off the hook?
Right.
And you find out just how powerful forgiveness
can be. That's exactly
right.
So the point of this, Eric, is always wear the glasses of grace that have the lenses of grace so that you can see God for who he is. And in seeing God for who he is, you're going to know how to talk to him about what's going on in your life. And you're going to rest assured that he hears you, that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you, that absolutely nothing can separate you from his love. And then when you look at others through that lens of grace, you can see how God's grace can strengthen these relationships as you move out in truth and say, hey, I did this. Can we work it out? And so always see God and others through the lens of grace.
Yeah.
You're going to be just fine. So, Eric, thank you for that. I hope that is a benefit to you. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It is my book, Love Is. And it's really an in-depth look at the love of God as spelled out for us in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, when we read that definition of love, we think of all those words as nice adjectives describing kind of these feelings of love. But Paul actually uses action statements. So that word patient, love is patient. That's not an adjective. That is a verb, a present tense active verb. And kindness is the same way. So Paul uses 15 action statements to tell the story of God's love, how he is actively loving you, has always loved you, and is actively loving you right now, right here, today.
Yeah.
So this is a powerful look at that definition. We want to put it in your hands. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And as far as this month is concerned, Richard, this is our final month of our fiscal year. So June 30th, we close the books on fiscal year 2021, and July 1st, we open the books on fiscal year 2022. So we need your help to close these books in a very strong position. So we started out this month with a need of $200,000. That will cover our bills. That will put us in the black for the year. And if we can get all of our listeners, all of our friends, all of those who are a part of Basic Gospel Nation to step up and help us during this month of June, we would greatly appreciate it. Help us cross this finish line in a very powerful and wonderful way so that we can start a new year in a very strong position. So how do you donate? Go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, follow all the instructions right there. If you would like to give by phone, you can call our toll-free line at 844-322-2742, or you can send a check in, and our address is at basicgospel.net. You can find that address there. So either way, that's going to be a big blessing to us in this month of June as we close the books on fiscal year 2021. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher. And Richard, we had this question, and this is about sanctification. So okay. We've talked about what do we do when we sin, and we have to allow the grace of God to teach us what to do in those moments. And what we're going to learn is the grace of God is a fantastic teacher.
Yeah,
He's always going to, the grace of God is always going to lead us down the right path. Well, this idea of sanctification, we also have to look at it through the lens of God's grace. So here's the question. Robert writes to us from Facebook. He says, during my Christian journey of 49 years, I've studied the grace of God and the sanctification process, and I can't help but feel that the sanctification process is a bit legalistic, where in many places in the general letters of the apostles, stresses that we are not to sin in areas concerning lust, faithfulness in marriage, drunkenness, theft, and the like. Can you help clarify why this is stressed when grace is the core of the gospel? That's an excellent question,
sure
isn't
is.
It? Now, this sanctification, this word sanctification, it sounds churchy, it sounds religious, mm-hmm. But it's a very simple word, isn't it? It
yes.
simply means to be set apart.
Mm-hmm.
And every single believer has already been sanctified, right?
Yes.
So that happened at the moment of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Paul talks about that in his letter to the Corinthians. I mean, they were a mess. They were involved in all kinds of wild and crazy things, so much so that Paul called them carnal babes. And but in the midst of that, he brought them truth. And so he said, this is what you once were, but now you have been washed. You have been sanctified, set apart by the Holy Spirit. So we have all been sanctified. That's a done deal. We have been set apart for God's use.
Mm-hmm.
He has made us holy. That's the same root word
yes.
is sanctification. He has made us holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he has sent his Spirit to live inside of us. Now, the Spirit of God would never live in an unholy vessel.
Correct.
It's not compatible.
I can't prove this, but I believe if we weren't already holy and sanctified, if the Spirit came inside of us, it would kill us.
Yes.
Flesh can't deal with that.
Yeah. Too much. So we have been sanctified. So that's truth. So when the New Testament writers talk about, for example, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians about sexual immorality and then talks about sanctification.
Yes.
So what he's saying is living it out, let's live out what's already true of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been set apart for God's use. So if we're choosing to engage in sexual immorality, we have to come to the point and realize that God has purchased our bodies for his use, not for sexual immorality, not for all these other things. So part of the renewing of the mind, part of growing in grace, is recognizing that we've been sanctified, that we have been set apart for God's use, and then making those choices in day-to-day life. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yes, yes. We have been declared to be something, and
yes.
when God declares it, it is so.
Yes.
We will spend the rest of our lives discovering what that means, but what it doesn't mean is that we will ever again need to do something in order to receive God's approval. We have already received God's approval, therefore we are now acting out of his strength rather than to impress him.
Yes.
And that's what sanctification is about. We're learning to allow the Spirit to continue to conform us to the image of Christ. And, according to Philippians 1:6, what God started, he's going to finish. So it's win-win.
Yes.
As long as we don't go legalistic on it.
Right.
Let God be God and walk by grace through faith as the Spirit does what he does in your life. And you will discover, he will have you turn around every once in a while and say, take a look back, and you will discover things that have changed in your life that you're not even aware changed because the Spirit has done it.
That's exactly.
It's wonderful.
That's exactly right. Well, here's this passage in 1 Thessalonians. It says this starting in verse 3 of chapter 4, for this is the will of God, your sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've already been sanctified. You've already been set apart. So God's will has been carried out through the work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But he goes on to say that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God.
Yeah.
See, it gets back
there
to this deal. So anyone who is lost, you are following when I was lost, when you were lost, we were both following the ways of this world. We were controlled by the prince of the power of the air. Mm-hmm. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. We were by nature children of wrath.
Yes.
That's who we were when we did not know God. So trying to gratify these twisted desires, that's what we lived for. That was what we were aiming at. That was our goal, to gratify every desire of the flesh that came about. Now we have been purchased out of that. We have been set free from the law of sin and death. We have been set free by the law of the Spirit of life. We have been raised to walk in the newness of life. We've been made holy, set apart for God's use. So part of this living it out is learning how to control these bodies of ours in holiness and honor, recognizing what God has done. So it's bringing the truth of what God has done into our day-to-day experience.
Yes.
And that is a by grace through faith process. Mm-hmm. So we're not progressively becoming more and more sanctified. We're as sanctified right now as we ever will be.
Yeah. If we're learning anything, it's to become more consistent with who we already are.
That's exactly
rather
right.
Rather than trying to become someone
exactly
we're not.
That's exactly right. As Paul said in Ephesians 5:8, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light.
Yeah.
So there's lots of theologians that will use this word sanctification and tag it to that,
yes,
to that verse. So, and they would say it's progressive sanctification. But no, you can't improve in the sanctification that God has already brought about through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You're as holy right now as you ever will be. You're as set apart for God's use right now as you ever will be. So rejoice in that, and then allow this truth to be carried forward in your day-to-day living.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it gets back to your knowledge of God. You know God. You know what he's like. You know the Spirit is there living in you. You can trust the Spirit to lead you down the paths of righteousness.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
We're out of time.
Missed out on our third topic on tithing, but I tell you what, we have a wonderful video on our YouTube channel. It is our most watched video on our YouTube channel. It is on tithing. Richard, you and I tackled that. Actually, I just mentioned the question, and then off you went, and it just took it. And you were very spirited in that answer, and very biblical and precise, and gave a marvelous introduction to this new covenant that we live in, and placing this idea of the grace of giving within that framework of the new covenant. So we invite you to go to our YouTube channel. That's basicgospel.net/YouTube. This video on tithing, it has like 270,000 views and thousands of comments. But take a look. It will be a great blessing in your life. Also, a reminder that this is a very important month for Basic Gospel as we close the books on fiscal year 2021, and we need your help to hit our $200,000 target by June 30th. So please help us out with a gift of any amount, and we pray that when you give, you're giving joyfully, you're giving generously, so that others can know the truth of the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks to Richard Pfeiffer. Thanks to our entire Basic Gospel team. We'll see you on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus.